Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. They're up, they're walking around, and they're hungry. Can you imagine going without a meal for a few months?
No.
Waking up.
Talk about hangry.
Right?
Yep.
Exactly. A Snickers is not going to work this time.
No.
You need a whole bag.
Channel 3 sports director Joe Zone had a family of bears in his backyard yesterday, four of them. Now, he recorded it. We shortened it because a lot of it was just visual and no audio. So right. Here's some audio.
Baby. They finally came here. Mama and baby are both on different trees.
Okay. Why is he whispering? And she's just like, and the babies are here, the mama.
She can't talk any louder.
There's four of them.
He's like croc hunter. Oh my God, look.
He's like, if they get anyone, they're going to get her.
There's bears over here.
It won't be me. I picture him in like an army helmet with
the pith helmet,
grass and weeds on it.
Exactly. The binoculars.
Here. They're never going to see me over here.
Right. And she's like, oh my God, there's bears here.
So they're in the house looking out the window.
Yeah.
I'm hiding from the bears. I'm Batman.
And probably from the house to where they are right now is 20, 30 feet, maybe more. They're on a tree.
Yeah, hanging out.
I don't know why. Joe's whispering.
I don't accept that. They got the double bird feeders set up from tree to tree. So they're climbing up each tree trying to knock them down.
Yeah.
Exclamation.
Oh, so she's doing voice to text. That's what she was doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's holding her phone, sending a text message. That's what that was. Because she just said exclamation point.
That's why
would you say that out loud?
They finally came here. Mama and baby are both on different trees. Exclamation.
How'd they get in?
This keeps getting weirder.
How'd they get in?
They're bears.
They're outside.
Right.
Did they climb the fence?
They walked past your fence. They had a reservation.
Bears, party of four.
They parachuted in.
Right. Yeah. Wow. When I heard this, I was like, should we talk to him? And I said, nah. And then, now I'm like, yeah, we should definitely talk to him.
How'd they get in?
Oh, my. He's now on his hind legs.
This is the sound of a horror movie if you take her out.
Right.
How'd they get in?
What
are we going to do?
They look hungry.
Four of them. They're approaching the house.
You're right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you put some horror music under that.
Right.
Yep.
One's headed towards me.
That's the mama, right?
Yep. Trying to figure out how to get it down.
Look how cute.
That's the little one.
Finally, Joe kicks into play-by-play mode.
I know.
He's a sports guy.
Yeah, really. Gas it up a bit.
Oh, right. Man.
So this is edited. There's long blocks of just nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, Joe.
Right. Come on, man. That's what you're doing.
You're a television sports guy. Play-by-play.
Joe!
If you would have done it football style, it would have went viral.
Hmm. The play-by-play won, but also he's a TV guy. Put the phone horizontal!
Sideways!
It's the vertical filming driving me crazy.
Oh my gosh, he's getting close.
Let's do the math here. Well, there's a garbage can right outside the window.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. You think they'll make it over there?
Should we expend the energy knocking down these bird feeders, or should we just go kick over that bin?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Let's see. Where's the food? In the tree and then behind the house. Yeah, they're coming over.
Do we want seeds or steak scraps?
Exactly.
What would they do if we went out right now?
Oh, man.
There's four of them.
His answer is not like kill us or there's four of them.
In other words, I'm not
we're
going
outnumbered.
Outside. Yeah. I'm not going outside.
Do the math.
Seems like a terrible decision.
I mean, like, what
would they do if we went out right now?
There's four of them.
I'd be like, go outside and find out.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been funny if he said that.
I'll stay here and do play-by-play.
I'll record. You go.
Right.
I'll stay here. I'll be Batman.
I'll document it.
All right.
There they are. Now they got to figure out
Well, that's great play-by-play. There they are.
Edge of my seat over here.
Now they got to figure out how to get out. They're going to knock down a fence.
He's worried about the work he's going to have to do.
Seriously, yeah.
That's why I said, how did they get in here?
Right.
Okay, they got through the fence.
They climb.
Yeah.
Look, it's coming right at us. Over here.
Oh, my God.
Look at this.
Is the door closed?
Yep.
Oh
did
God.
Someone just fart?
I think he was checking the door.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I think it's one of them because the four bears are now approaching the house.
Nervous fart.
That sliding a, glass
yeah,
door.
That was a one leg lift.
Yeah.
Is the door closed?
Yep.
Yeah. That sounds like a fart to me.
I'm sorry.
It does.
Fart.
Yeah. Muscles getting loose.
Yep.
You've entered the Joe zone.
I know. I'll spank you.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing in the garbage pail. Well, now they're playing right in front of
garbage
them.
Pail. Who says garbage pail? Does anyone here say garbage pail?
No.
Yeah.
Pail?
I think garbage can.
I think I say bin.
I say garbage can.
Trash bin.
I definitely say pail.
Garbage.
I say can, even though it's a big, giant piece
of plastic. It's the
plastic.
Garbage.
Don't be mad at us. Leave.
Well, there you go, Joe. Yeah. They'll be like, okay.
Don't be hating.
Leave. Hey, you Joe Zone.
Leave.
Like your sports.
Friday nights.
Leave.
Don't be mad at us. Leave.
Gripping.
There was a moment where they walked right up to the glass slider, one of them, and looked right in. If that door was open, it'd be in the house.
Oh, yeah.
You guys got chips?
Yeah, salsa.
Yeah.
Oh, hummus? I'll take hummus.
Oh, you know what? Some pita chips would be great.
How about a beer? A bear beer.
Any pizza?
TV person. Probably the worst refrigerator to raid, right? Because they got to watch their weight.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a lot of good. There's no pizza, lasagna.
No.
They should come to my house.
Right.
Cake.
Pie.
Kiwi? Come on.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, what is this? What? Celery. I could get this outside.
What the hell is almond milk? How do you milk an almond? Yeah,
I didn't come in here to get stuff I could get outside.
God's sake.
Yeah, almond milk.
Really? Do I look like I want to lose weight?
One bear had two tags.
Yeah.
Which means it's one tag away from like...
Three strikes, you're out.
It doesn't know. Leave it alone.
I mean, bears aren't violent.
No.
Okay. Every now and then you hear about, you know, that Southbury story where it killed a pony. That was a one-time, very rare event.
Yeah.
The only time you hear about them going a little nutty is, you know, they'll protect their children.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They will fight back if a dog comes and attacks them.
Yeah.
Also, you can't feed it human food.
Right.
Because then they don't know the boundaries, so, like, stay away from people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Remember we had that lady on? Were you here then, Phil? She coaxed out a bear, fed the bear, and then because the bear came out, they put the bear down.
People oh, my God.
Nuts on her. Oh, yeah. That was a free-for-all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do not feed the bears.
Exactly.
They don't know any better. Just let them do their thing.
Yeah,
get your kids in the house. Get your dogs in the house. Get your grandparents in the house.
Let them find their own food. Watch them walk away. They'll leave you alone. They'll walk right past you.
Have you seen a live bear?
Yeah.
Has anyone seen bears this season?
Not this season.
I saw one back in the fall.
Oh,
right, the dusty bear.
In Watertown, yeah.
The dusty bear that came out of the woods.
It came out of the woods. It was all completely all dusty.
What?
Playing baseball? The slide into the home plate?
It was all just all dusty. And it like shook itself. And there was this cloud.
Came out of its little burrow. Yeah. I don't know.
Yep.
It kicked over a bin. It was like, oh, that was the grill ashes.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning, April Fool's Day.
Right.
On you.
So a group of teens were walking in Jersey, and a black bear was stalking them. So they decided to split up to confuse the bear. And the poor fat kid, he didn't make it.
What?
The poor fat kid didn't make it?
What do you mean? Didn't make it up the hill? Or?
No, he didn't make it away from the bear. And the bear got himself a very good meal.
The bear killed a kid in Jersey. When?
Yeah, Google it. Right, I'm dead serious.
All right.
They have a major bear problem, and this bear actually hunted down these three teens while they were walking and hiking, and it killed one of them.
I'm gonna look it up. Ashley was talking about a flipped over truck this morning.
Yeah,
wherever.
Brantford.
Mm-hmm. There was one earlier this week on 84, and it was just all of the things that make a dramatic movie scene.
Yep.
Fully loaded with lumber, flips over, slides, bursts into flames.
Right.
Dramatic rescue of the driver. We have someone who was right behind that lumber truck. Carlos, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
So take us through it. What did you see?
I'm just right behind the truck. I don't know if the lumber on the trailer shifted, so the trailer started, going sideways. He's trying to control the truck for a good minute. He actually went pretty far trying to control not to flip. But
for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, and as soon as he got down to the bridge, the little curve, that's when lost control. As soon as it flipped, I called 911. Me and my partner, Brian, he's next to me. We jumped out of the truck right away. We went up there. I was trying to climb, and he climbed up. We were trying to get the driver out, but I don't know if he wanted to get out because the truck started catching on fire on the bottom. We told him to get out. He was just trying to look for his GPS or some paper. I'm like, dude, the truck is on fire. We got to get you out. And I told my partner, just grab him. So we grab him. We pull him out. And then about two minutes later, the whole truck was on fire. And, we got him out pretty much on time. Because he was trying to open the door, but he couldn't open the door on top.
Oh, so you guys helped him get out.
Wow. Heroes.
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't want to get out. I was like, dude.
That's weird. He was looking at the GPS?
Right. He must have been in
shock. He was looking for his wallet, his cell phone, GPS. I'm like, dude, I don't think right now that matters.
Now is not the time, yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning. What's the first thing you saw and you thought, this truck's not this isn't normal?
Well, it was like a normal day. I was right behind him. It's just the trailer started wobbling and then the trailer started going on two wheels on the side.
Wow.
Wow.
He was trying to control it for a good, thank God the two cars that was in front of me on the side. They didn't try to pass him, or else it would have crushed. It was a lady with a. I think the little girl had to be like 8 years old.
Can you imagine?
Well, thank God that they weren't trying to pass him or anything like that, or else they would have got him born and that wreck.
Wow.
It was lumbers everywhere, and it was pretty bad. It was like a scene of a movie.
Yeah, we heard that the truck slid like 600 feet on its upside down.
Long time. I mean. I was going 55. He was going to probably the same speed.
Carlos?
Yeah.
Like who drives 55 on 84?
Apparently he does.
My truck only goes to 65. It won't let me go further.
He'd like it to, but yeah. Okay.
He's tried.
This was not by choice.
Yeah, that's foot to the pedal.
So if you're doing 55, would you say that trailer was going faster?
Probably maybe 5 miles, probably 60. Like, again, he was like probably
not much
50,
faster, huh?
He was probably 50, 75 feet from me, in front of me.
Wow. So then you see the trailer.
I saw the trailer start going sideways. I slow down. The people on the side next to me start slowing down. And thank God, because I know that they're working on that bridge right there. And they have temporary beams there to separate the.
They have the Jersey barrier. So there's kind of an S-turn. You have to, get into it because the way the lanes are set up.
Right.
But that's on the other side. So he had a straight shot. Trailer starts wobbling. He tries to get control of it. I'm just thinking there's white smoke from rubber all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Rubber, steel, everything. Because when he went on sideways, it was a cloud of smoke. Sparks
Wow.
everywhere. I mean, thank God when he hit the berry didn't move to the side towards the coming traffic. Or else it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah, right.
But nasty.
Wow. And then he didn't want to get out right away.
I saw the trailer flip all the way. I grabbed my phone, called 911. Hey, I'm on 84 between exit 11 and 12. Tractor trailer just flipped. And then I just started running. As soon as the truck got to a fully stop, ran towards it. The guy in front of me, he in a black van, he went. But when he saw the fuel coming out of the tank, it was like waterfall coming down. He was like, no, he's okay. He ran back.
Seriously?
It's a tough decision to make.
Yeah,
because you could just die right then.
Yeah,
you only have a second to make that decision.
You're all in or not.
Yeah. Well, you could go and try to rescue this guy, then there's an explosion and you're gone.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Man. I mean, one of my friends, I think when I sent him a video, I think it's one when the truck already, when it was on fire and then it did the explosion. It was the gas tank actually exploded afterwards. It was it's like a movie.
And then did you talk to the driver of the truck as you're standing around waiting for...
When the cops separate us, you guys got to move this and that, they took him to one side of the road, and then I went to the other side of the highway.
Right.
So,
they don't want you guys comparing notes. And yeah.
He was taking a little bit. He wasn't like hurt and everything. I mean, probably because he was nervous. He didn't feel no pain. Maybe the next day he probably will feel something.
I would think so.
Yeah, the shock thing. Yep.
Yeah,
wow. How long from the time the truck flipped till it caught on fire?
When we were going on, there was a little bit of fire underneath with the smoke started coming out, but it was like not huge. It was just starting. When we got him out, we got the fire extinguisher, the little fire extinguisher trying to put it out, but it wouldn't turn off. It was it was probably like two sprays left on that thing.
Oh, man.
The fire extinguisher, but, that's when the cops told us just get out, and we just left to each side.
How did you, how long were you stuck there?
I think I left probably like 11, it was on like 7, probably 7:15 or 7:10 that it happened, and I was there probably almost into 12, because that time moving traffic, I had to back up for a long time, my truck.
That's a long time.
To turn around.
Did you have to pee or poo during that time?
Important. I hope not.
No, pee, I mean, there was woods there that could have, it was, the to do, but
yeah.
Other thing.
How about Brian? He was okay?
No, Brian was okay.
All right.
He was, he jumped on top of it. I was trying to climb the truck, but I'm a little, big boner, so I climbed halfway.
Big boner. What is that? What is it? You have a big boner?
Big boned or so, I think you said.
Oh.
He's husky.
Yes.
Oh. It's like you're walking around with a big boner? This is why the guy didn't want to get out of the truck. It's like, I'll stay here and take my chance.
Sounds like you had the lumber going.
I'll let someone else help me.
210 pounds, but yeah, I'm 210 pounds, so I was trying to climb. I only climbed halfway.
Right.
He's skinny, so he went all the way. And then when we pulled with the guy out, we brought him down, and,
that's great teamwork.
Yeah.
You guys did a great job.
Yep.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you, Carlos. Appreciate it, man. Glad you're okay. What's that? I didn't hear that last part.
I said it was another human being in a truck, so. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you can't fault that guy who ran up, saw the fuel, and said, not me.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
He was like, he's okay. He was telling he's okay. But I'm asking him, and they're still in the truck. Yeah, but he said he's okay.
Yeah, now that he shouldn't have done.
Because
now he's telling you guys, don't worry about him.
Yeah, no.
Let's get him out.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Make sure he's okay.
If you're not up to the job, that's fine. But don't get other people to not do it. So
exactly.
Yeah,
well, Carlos, Brian, nice job. Thank you for coming on. You know, by calling on the phone, AJ, and then getting your appointment moved up, you're not cutting the line. Everyone has done that, and I did it.
Yeah.
So you felt guilty you did not cut the line. That's how it works.
Okay.
As long as you canceled the other appointment you had.
Yeah. That's gone.
Did you have another appointment?
No.
Oh. I don't know what to believe.
Russian roulette.
That was me.
When you said you were on the list,
that was me buying time. Yeah,
I'm like, all right.
I'm on the VEC list.
The VEC thing.
That was me buying time. VAMS site, not VAC. VAMS.
Okay, so you got your shot.
Yes.
All right.
I got one shot of Moderna.
Good.
Yep.
Okay.
Shot.
And your arm does hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the flu shot. It's right into your muscle.
Right? It's a little more than that because it's like a thicker, bigger needle. Because it felt like, because usually when you get a flu shot, your arm hurts like a day. This hurt for like 3 days.
I've heard that. A lot of lingering soreness.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just so you to make it complicated to say, I got my shot. Like we have to pull it out of you.
Well, you guys broke me.
Well, I'm sorry if it was something you wanted to keep private.
I just didn't know, you know, so I was like, you know.
I didn't know, so I was like,
wait,
you know.
Did you not want to tell everyone, or you felt like calling and getting a very quick appointment made you a bad person?
That third one.
You've been eligible for a month, AJ.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Actually, I think it's a little longer than that.
I mean, I already got one.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not kidding either. Just less than 24 hours slip, okay? Because it came out, was that Monday. I tried that Tuesday morning, and the entire place, like every place they had listed, you know, no available, not available, not available, not available. Like, oh, my God.
I'm with you. Yep. I waited till Wednesday. We were on vacation that week, so I was a little like, I'm not jumping on the phone and doing any tasks.
And I did that phone call thing, that number you gave me, and I got put on hold. And I apparently I can't hang out.
Yeah.
I didn't do the speaker thing and go about my business. I just kind of like, oh, I'll try later.
Yeah.
And then I tried on the weekends and found out that doesn't happen. It's only week, you know, Monday through Friday.
And then you finally got through and they said, come in.
Right.
All right, good. Oh, well, that mystery solved.
There you go.
It only took us 15 minutes on the air.
You guys are good.
For AJ to say,
you guys are
I got my shot.
You're good,
which if you time that, that's less than a second.
You're good, you.
So is the swollen nut after the shot? That wasn't like a side effect, right?
Great question.
What, the one that I had?
Your swollen nut.
Oh, no. That was...
Where did they give you this shot?
That happened way before.
And where did you go? Was there like a...
It was way before.
Like, was it like Jim's Lawnmowers and Vaccinations?
Yes. Right in the alleyway, yeah. You're right by the seasonal
you
department.
You did go to a place that looked official.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Right, no, good. It wasn't by the seasonal department of Walmart, no.
AJ got his mulch and his shot at the
department.
Same time.
Yeah, that's my favorite place.
And the nut thing happened days before.
Okay, good.
During the recovery of the nut thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, during your recovery.
Oh, yeah. So your nut was a problem before the vaccine.
That's yes.
That's what he just said.
Right.
Got it.
Detective Ashley.
Either way, I'm glad I don't have them.
That was me.
Don't have what? A swollen nut?
Yes. Oh. Or just nuts in general.
Right.
Very good.
Have you checked?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Next story. Man charged with molesting an alligator. This is from Jennifer and tribe member Joe Pontino. Thanks for sending.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have never found an alligator sexy. How about you guys?
No.
Oh, that's horrible.
I like the boots.
There is not a piece of sexy clothing you could put on an alligator that would make me think, okay, I could see that. Maybe three in the morning.
I don't see soft and cuddly and like, you know, I'm like, I wake up like thinking, oh my God.
Probably not a good French kisser.
Probably, yeah, very, yeah, right.
Have you seen my head?
Exactly.
Bite you with your teeth.
You know they have death breath.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
They don't floss.
Oh, they just eat everything.
Yeah.
Skin needs a little too much moisturizer for my budget.
Yeah, if you only cracked heels, forget about it.
Yeah.
Plus
yeah.
The eyes. The eyes are not like... You
when
don't
they
feel,
roll back before you eat.
You don't get a good feeling looking at them.
Yeah, imagine being on a date and like right before she takes a bite of food, she rolls her eyes back and then opens her mouth that wide. You're like,
maybe not.
Check, please.
That happens here every Friday.
Yeah. You talking about me? What are you talking about?
That is true.
Yeah, cronut lady.
We had to film the strike, remember?
Yeah. So this headline is a little bit deceiving. The word molesting makes you think that, wow, this is a horrible barn incident
yes.
or something.
Deliverance.
Of that nature. This happened in South Carolina, and it was a photo that was posted on Facebook from some kind of like island golf and resort place. Okay. And they posted the picture not to encourage people to do this, but to hopefully identify the guy who was doing this.
The idiot.
There was a picture of a guy crouching down, pulling an alligator out of the water by its tail.
See, that's stupid right there.
If you saw the size of this alligator, he was 1 second away from just being a pair of shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, only the shoes were left behind.
Obviously, the man's been drinking.
Yeah, this was the dumbest thing. And the look on the alligator's face is like, you have about a second to let go of that tail. Yeah.
Dude, really?
He gets what's coming to him, then.
Oh, hell no. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say if that alligator turned around and snapped him in half, you got to leave the remains there.
Exactly.
So people walking by with their golf clubs can say, oh, right, don't touch the alligator.
That was the idiot, right.
Like the skeletons just embedded in the wall in the Temple of Doom.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Right.
Wow. Like, I saw this picture, I'm just thinking, this guy is a moron.
If you're messing with the animal purposely, then you deserve what you get.
Yeah, if you're walking with your clubs through a golf course and one jumps out of some, you know,
out of the bushes and whatnot.
Out of the bushes and takes your leg off. I feel horrible for you.
Yeah.
Although, don't be walking by the bushes if you're in a place where they have alligators.
Especially near water.
But if you're pulling its tail, I'm almost rooting for you to lose a limb. Yeah. Not death, but just lose a limb.
Absolutely.
I think you should walk around the rest of your life without a limb.
The one-armed golfer or the one-legged golfer.
Yeah, and you have to be forced to play golf.
Exactly, right. Right. And you lose an eye.
Go ahead. Now you got to get out there every day and play golf.
And you have to sort of just, yarr.
But they figured this one out, right? In South Carolina, put the word molesting on there. Oof. Not abuse, not animal abuse.
Right.
Molesting an alligator.
Right.
Disturbing them in any way.
Now, you go to apply for a job, and they're like, oh, let's look. Oh, ooh. You were molesting an alligator?
What the hell's wrong with you, pal?
Okay.
Little eyes wide shirt.
Just take your resume.
Oh, well, give me a call.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
Good. There's vaccine pandemonium happening today in Connecticut and in the studio.
Well, that's great news.
Yeah.
The more people get vaccinated, the quicker we get reopened. That's for sure. So
16
go,
plus
go, go.
Today, so very good.
Isn't that the best? Yep, you're great. It's great. It's
so
great.
We heard, and I know, I don't think this is your concert, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, City Field, on the schedule for July.
Right.
9,000 people, so limited capacity. 9,000 in an 80,000 seat venue now until things get better. With restrictions and guidelines. What do you think about that?
I don't believe it. Who said that?
The story came out this week.
That they're only going to let 9,000 fans in of the people that bought the tickets?
Yeah. Now you're making me wonder if I read it right. But yes. Phil, can you fact check me, please? Yes. This story came out this week that it's, I forgot what date. It's July, like mid-July.
It's mid. Oh, yeah. I have Buffalo in mid-July. And I've heard nothing about that.
City Field. It's on. Tickets on sale now. $108 for the lowest price ticket. They're letting 9,000 people in. You got to either show vaccine or negative test, or no, not vaccine, but negative test or temperature. And they might ask for a vaccine card. We're looking it up.
Well,
right now.
Today being April 1st, I'm not really sure I believe what you're saying, so I'll just let it
right,
go.
Right, right. But, okay, I can see why you would not believe me.
I would question it, yes.
I just don't understand. I can't imagine they would do a show with only 9,000 people in a stadium. The promoter would get his butt kicked financially.
Right.
The band would take way less money. If you're going to sell only 9,000 tickets, go into an arena or go into an amphitheater where you can certainly sell more than I could sell 9,000 tickets right now in Hartford in Connecticut right. by state law.
And what
you
do
don't
we
have
got,
to
Phil?
Build a stage. You don't have to do all the stuff that costs so much money.
Yeah.
Technically, Chaz, you and Jimmy are both correct. So if the concert happened today, I think is what they're saying, only 9,000 people would be permitted. They're expecting by the time they get to that date in July, that'll be opened up more.
Yeah, I would think they were right on that. That part I understand. But and we never took tickets off sale for these shows. So my guess is that if the show, you're right, if the show happened today, only 9,000 people would come.
That's
my discussions
that's
with the governor is, right. Now, so my discussion with the governor has always been, give me guidance starting June 1st or give me guidance starting July 1st or something like that. And I'll go from there. And hopefully I'll hear that soon. But right now, look, we're going to be putting shows on sale this month. I would expect at full capacity would be my guess. I don't know yet what we're doing. We're waiting to hear from the governor.
Do but you really
I would
not
think in
know?
April he'll be giving us
Do you really not know? Or
No, the governor is a little concerned about the recent spike. So we're going to hopefully hear from the governor in the next week or two about what will happen.
It sounds like you have bands, dates, and venues in mind.
Absolutely. With hopes that we can go on sale this month. And we are waiting for the governor to give us a thumbs up. And the governor gives us a thumbs up, we are prepared to put some shows on sale.
Get the green light. Yep.
Let's just say if the governor called, you know, you spoke today and you got the green light, when would these announcements come?
It would take me a week or two to get it together, and they would come in probably the second half of April.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's exciting.
That's very exciting.
When do you think you'll know from the governor?
Well, if I say it, it might not be true because I've expected to hear from the governor last week and the week before, but then all of a sudden the spikes came up, and I think the governor was very wise and holding off to tell me what to do because we don't know what's going on all of a sudden. Everybody is, you know, the positivity rate's over 3% now. And you and I last talked, it was over 2%.
Right.
So, you know, I would hope to hear from the governor the first half of this month.
Okay. Well, that is good news, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's great news.
Yeah.
It's great news.
Bonnaroo. Someone wanted me to ask you about Bonnaroo.
Yes. Live Nation show.
Yes. That happening.
What about it?
Is that happening?
Oh, yeah. It went on sale. It's a pretty amazing lineup. It's in Tennessee, so I'm sure it'll be a little more liberal than other states because Tennessee's a little looser on the regulations. So it's going to happen. It's in September, so I would hope by September most things will be at full capacity.
And I love going to the Jim Complic Presents Archive and looking back at concerts on this day in history. And we're in that sweet spot now where, like, it's April, so this is when you start seeing dates really full.
Yes, yes, yes. We're actually having concerts again. The snow is disappearing. The artists are not afraid to tour anymore.
Good.
April 1st, 1972.
Yes. Yes, that was actually my first. It was the Beach Boys and Billy Joel at the Miami Beach Convention Hall. And that's the only show I did, one of two shows I did in Florida, both with the Beach Boys. I had helped the Beach Boys on their return to popularity by doing a show in Columbus, Ohio. And they said to me, "We'll give you a show anywhere in the country. What would you like?" And I said, "Well, as a Jewish boy growing up in the Westchester County area, I always loved going to Florida on Easter vacation. So how about the Beach Boys in Florida over Easter? All the way back to 1972, you'll find out that that's Easter weekend."
Nice.
And they gave me the gift, and I didn't know who the opening act was, and this little guy comes up to me and says, "I'm the opening act. My name is Billy Joel." I've never met him. I'd never heard a song by him. And this was a new venue. I'd never done a show there. And Billy goes up on stage and he does a 30-minute set. And it was great. It was just great. And I went over to see him as he was getting off the stage to greet him and say, "Hey, I love your music. I never heard it before." And he takes a step off the stage and falls on his face.
Oops.
Oh, no. Whoops. Sorry, Billy.
Better his face than his fingers.
I forgot to put the steps up against the stage for him to walk down the steps.
Oops.
Yeah. And he gets off the floor and goes, "Who the truck is the promoter?" I go, I don't know.
I'm looking for myself.
I'll go find him.
When you find him, please let me know.
Yeah, you take care of yourself. I'll go find him.
So I had to wait a few more years to meet Billy Joel.
Did you ever tell him?
No, I've thought of it a few times.
He might
laugh. I don't want to break up our friendship.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, he's made some money off you also, you know?
Yeah, he did. He did make money off me. You know what? The next time I see him, I'm going to ask him if he remembers falling off the stage.
Then tell
him
write a song about it. Tell him write a song about it.
Could be a hit.
I seen Billy go down on Broadway.
Yeah, he does have a song called Miami 2017 through Miami 1972.
Exactly.
Can you look up 1972 Billy Joel? I wonder what he had out then.
Was that Piano Man?
I think it was before that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cold Spring Harbor,
right?
That's what I would guess.
Yeah. Huh.
Remember I got like a Billy Joel album with a whole bunch for like 13 cents.
Got a whole bunch of what?
Remember the
albums?
Yeah, all the albums you got for like 13 cents. So then
back in Reader's Digest.
Columbia House. That was it. Yeah. I think it's all money.
Yeah. Piano Man didn't come out until 1973. Cold Spring Harbor was out 71.
Okay.
Yeah. And what was on Cold Spring Harbor?
She's Got Away leads it off.
Oh, nice.
Wow. But that didn't become a hit until later.
Really?
Until later.
When he did Jimmy's show at Toad's. He brought that back.
You're right.
Yep. You Can Make Me Free, number two. Everybody Loves You Now.
That's
number three.
So it's a great album, just no one was playing it on the radio.
Testing Gravity.
The rest I don't recognize at all. It's pretty much those first three songs.
Wow. Ouch, my face.
Why, wow. Judy, Why? Falling of the Rain. I almost said Falling Off the Stage, Jimmy, just for you. Turn Around. You Look So Good to Me. Tomorrow Is Today. Nocturne, Got to Begin Again.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know any of those.
Yeah, no.
Did the Beach Boys...
And if you listen to that album, his voice sounds like he just sucked some helium.
Oh, really?
Can you pull that up?
Way high, huh?
Jimmy, how did the Beach
Boys... Oh, my God.
Tight pants?
It's bothered him for his whole life, he said.
Oh, really?
Yes. The producer raised his voice an octave almost, he said. He can't stand what his voice sounds like.
Damn.
Technically or asked him to sing that high?
No, technically, they raised it.
Oh, it doesn't seem right.
No.
How did the Beach Boy crowd react to Billy Joel?
They loved him. Awesome. They absolutely loved him.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
It was a perfect match.
Oh, wow. Let's hear it.
All right, so this is Why, Judy, Why, and I promise this is Billy Joel.
Of all the people in the world.
Oh, my God.
That I know.
Judy Garland.
Somebody was popular at that time that sounded like that. And then the producer said, and the record label said, we want more of that. Make him sound like Gilbert O'Sullivan or whatever.
Must have been, yeah.
More like Judy Collins.
I said Frankie Valli, I told him. I said, you sound like Frankie Valli to me of the Four Seasons.
Interesting.
Okay.
What were the big songs? So if that album came out in 71,
we'll have to look
at 1970.
Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
There you go.
Song.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You called it.
There's a false set of voice
right there.
There it
is.
Yep.
Oh, we want more of that. Give me that.
Good call.
That was
probably it. Good call.
The Carpenters, Jackson 5.
Oh, my God. Jackson 5. Forget about it. Doesn't get higher than that.
I'll Be There.
On this date in 1976, Jerry Garcia Band, Palace Theater in Waterbury.
Ooh.
Look at the backstage pass. If you go on my page, you'll see four call letters on that backstage, on the ad, actually. It's an ad in association with.
WPLR.
You got it.
Nice.
Act like I don't know how to use a computer in the studio.
Right.
And every one of these ticket outlets is now out of business.
Wow.
And there must be 20 ticket outlets on this ad.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a time that was. You had to run around with your car and deliver tickets.
Yes. And I love putting them in record stores because I always said to myself, if they're buying records, they're probably buying concert tickets.
That makes sense.
So if you look at the ad, you'll see all these great record stores that people used to go to.
Awesome.
And the record stores loved it because now you got people, you got traffic coming in, you got music fans walking in.
Yeah, it was a great marriage. It really was a great marriage. It really was.
It's all good.
I didn't know.
Ticketron ruined it, though.
I didn't realize Jerry Garcia was doing live shows on his own, solo, in 76.
He never wanted to get off the road. He always wanted to play guitar. So if the band weren't doing, the Dead weren't doing shows, he would go out on his own.
Wow. Wow.
Bon Jovi played Mohegan Sun on this day in 2017.
Yes, and I've always been at every Bon Jovi show that I've ever promoted. I like to see him. He expects me to be there. One of the four or five artists that if I have a show, I'll always show up at.
We have the set
but
list.
That's
there.
Only about four or five of them. That's about it now.
One,
but,
two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 45, 56, 57, 58, 59, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 56, 57, 58, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 45, 56, 57, 58, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 45, 56, 57, 58, 29, 30,
that he can just call out a song. The band better be ready to play it.
Oh, audibles.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, he doesn't like doing the same set list every night, so he prepares five or six more songs that he can just throw in there and tell the band, okay, I want to play this song.
You know what that's like? That's like being a wedding DJ, and you see you don't have anyone on the dance floor, or we need to pick it up, or we need to make an adjustment right now.
Yeah.
They need a slow dance, they need a break, or they need... And it's,
you've got to liven this up.
That's cool.
One of the two, yep.
I don't like this guitar. We're going acoustic for a little bit so they can look at it.
I'm in a bad mood.
What a great... and the last three songs, well, let's go with... Wow, there's a lot. This is a killer end of a show. Now, if you're a Bon Jovi fan, you like all these songs. They open with This House, Knockout, Into Bad Name. Bunch of great songs, and then like the last six or seven songs, Lay Your Hands, Born to Be My Baby,
okay,
Have a Nice Day, Bad Medicine, Keep the Faith, they go off, they come back, Raise Your Hands, Wanted Dead or Alive, Living on a Prayer.
Wow.
Nice.
Someone uploaded on YouTube the soundboard quality from this concert. This is the very beginning of the show.
Someone pirated?
I don't know.
So now you're only going to get the stage mics. So this is a lot louder.
Definitely.
Than what you're hearing.
Sounds pretty loud.
Wow. Sorry about that.
Very excited. Or someone stepped on her foot.
Or she fell.
Yeah.
Can you fast forward in?
Yeah, here's 10 minutes in.
That guy's voice just never, it's the same
it's
voice
perfect.
From the 80s.
Yeah.
Already bottles it.
And I love him because he let his hair grow gray.
Yeah.
And Silver Fox.
The only other one I know offhand is Bob Seger that did that.
Yep. Let it go gray.
Right. Yeah, Bruce, not so much.
No, he's dyed job entirely, yeah.
But he looks good.
He looks great. And I saw him, you had him... Rentschler Field for two nights in a row. I forgot when. But this was like 10 years ago. He was in his 50s.
No, it was much longer than that. I think it was 15 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Like 15 years ago, he's in his 50s? Late 40s?
Yes, in his 50s, yes.
He's grabbing the mic stand, and he's lifting himself off the ground by holding the mic stand.
He's like guy
tremendous
wires.
Midsection strength, core strength.
There's guy wires on his ankles are pulling him up from the stage.
Yeah, nuts.
Wow.
All right, so Jimmy, we got to go. We encourage everyone to go to Jim Koplik Presents Archive on Facebook, and we're looking forward to maybe some news. Maybe we get you on before Thursday if there's news.
I'm waiting for the governor.
Awesome. Right.
Thank you, Jimmy. Mark Russin is on, former cop. And author of Metro Sin City Chronicles. This sounds like it could be a television series.
Easily.
How are you?
It's possible. It's possible. Good morning to you.
Thanks.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being a cop.
Yep.
My pleasure. I had a good ride.
So let's go through some of the highlights of the book.
The book starts out when I was a kid growing up in Chicago, and I kind of give the background about how I ended up getting into police work, taking a gambling junket to Vegas after I graduated from Western Illinois University in law enforcement. And as a kid, I always wanted to either play professional hockey, which I was pretty good at for being a Chicago-born kid, and or being a police officer. So I backed it up with Plan B, which was being a police officer. And I got my second dream job, and I did that for 4 years working the strip in Las Vegas before I left the department for greener pastures in ATF as a federal agent.
Oh. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. But what's it like being a cop in the 80s in Vegas on the strip? I'm picturing drugs and craziness and hookers and
debauchery.
It's Sin City.
You got all of the above. That's about it. And so many crazy, unbelievable stories that happened. In the book, I picked 20 of the funniest, craziest, most ridiculous, scariest different things that happened to me as a first responder on the strip.
Oh.
And
can you
I
tell
was
us
young,
one?
You know. Yeah, I mean, one that comes to mind, I don't know how old you are, but the MGM Grand Hotel fire, 187 people died. I was one of the officers that went into the building and recovered dead bodies from that fire, which is a historical event that I will never forget. I call it the night from hell. And that's one of them. And then, you know, there's other short stories that I go into. A guy blew his own head off with a shotgun, committing suicide. A guy was hanging from a tree. A lady drowned herself in a swimming pool in her yard because her boyfriend dumped her. And,
a lot of death.
Then you get a lot of crazy stuff on the strip with the gambling end of things and the prostitutes and the trick rolls and all the stupid stuff that guys that are drinking and get drugged and, you know, these ladies make it their business to try and relieve them of all their valuables and money.
Right.
And jewelry, you name it.
Yeah.
All the above. Yep.
Right. What about like piles of money or piles of drugs or mafia?
Well, back then it was in the early 80s, Chicago mob pretty much ran the town. Spilotro was there, and I don't know if you saw the movie Casino, but that was pretty much depicted while I was working patrol. All those incidents happened when I was there.
Oh, wow.
The hole in the wall gang and Tony Spilotro running the town and what have you. That was before it turned corporate. You know, the strip and all the major hotels now are pretty much corporate, and the mob is pretty much you know, either acting very covert or out of the picture completely. But back in those days, it wasn't. It was front and center, and everybody kind of knew that. That was part of the mystique of Vegas back then, and it was a smaller town where everybody knew your name It was more of a personal setting than it is today.
I don't picture that being an area where everyone knows your name.
Right.
But so with the mafia there, there had to be an understanding between them and the cops, right? There are just some people you don't arrest or some things you just look the other way?
No, not really. I mean, they were there, but, you know, to come in contact with the patrol officers, it didn't happen too often. You know, I mean, they were more of a upper level type thing where they would be doing their thing, you know, by themselves. And we never really, like, I never really even dealt with them, to be honest with you, as a patrolman. I mean, we had other things to keep us busy on the strip and all the tourists and, you know, all the different crimes that are, you know, prevalent when money is in the picture, and you know, the drug angle, and back then, I mean, the gang problem wasn't even that prevalent. It only started, like, you know, I'd say late 80s, early 90s, when things started to get out of hand there, and now you got a city that just grew so fast, and Metro's trying to keep up with the growth and all the crime that goes with it.
In the book, there's a part about you seeing what $70,000 in cash looks like. How does that happen?
Well, what happened was there was a a guy who was playing blackjack, and one of the gals, one of the street whores, gave him the Google Eye from the bar, and he walked over and talked to her and had a drink, and then she propositioned him for some oral sex. He had a car in the back parking lot, so they went out to his car, and while his pants were down to his ankles, she rifled through his front pocket, and unbeknownst to her, this guy was a high roller who had $1,000 bills in his pocket. Whoops. And I had never even seen a $1,000 bill till the night I got called. And
I didn't know there were $1,000 bills.
I had no idea.
Apparently it was a different wad.
Yeah, exactly. But there sure are. And he had these bills in 30 of them in one pocket, and 30 of them in another pocket, and 40 of them in the back pocket. And when I got to the security desk, he was looking at the booklet of streetwalkers trying to pick her out of a, so to speak, lineup, a black book that the Desert Inn Hotel had. And when he told me he got rifled for $30,000, I said, "You got to be kidding me." I mean, I couldn't believe him because I didn't think you could fit $30,000 in your pocket, $100 bills. And he said, "You can if you carry all thousands." And he showed me the rest of the money.
It's $1,000 bill?
$1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
I currently don't have a lot of money because I didn't even know that. I'd love to have one. Phil, can you look that up?
Yeah, I think it's out of print. They don't make them anymore, but they used to.
That's true. That's true. I've never seen one till that day.
Trump.
I have no idea. I've never seen one till that day. And when he put the money in front of me, I looked at it. I inspected it. I was like intrigued because I never saw one before either. And but sure enough, they were there, and that was 70 of them laid out on the table. And the funny thing about it was the guy explained that he was a high roller and that he walked to this, because I said, "Why don't you put it in a cage and grab markers? What are you doing walking around town with this kind of cash in your pocket?" And he said, "Well, I'm a high roller that goes to different sports books, and you got to bet the money. You got to have the money with you to put it down on the games and stuff." And I said, "Man," and he ended up not even making a police report. He had so much money that he just wanted to make sure that the next person who couldn't afford it didn't get taken by this gal. So that was it. I cleared off the call with no report, no nothing. And he never did pick her out, and we went our separate ways, and that was the end of it.
She had a great night.
Jeez, that is literally jackpot.
Seriously,
can you imagine the girl when she got into the light, when she looked at the lot of money in her hand?
There's an extra zero on these.
Oh yeah,
Merry Christmas in July, I call it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, she grabbed the right slot machine. Yep.
Absolutely.
You had dinner with James Gandolfini in 2007. Was he doing research for a movie, or what was that about?
No. I was in Tucson, Arizona when I retired. I owned a restaurant, and he came in the restaurant to have dinner, and he ended up, kind of talking to me about it because I was the owner of the restaurant, and we sat down, and he was with a realtor. He was looking for land up in Dove Mountain, which is a ritzy suburb of the Tucson area, northwest Tucson, where the Ritz-Carlton Hotel is located, and he was looking for land back then, and we just got to talking, and he invited me to sit down with him and have a bite to eat. So I enjoyed some of our chicken wings with him and had a frosty libation with him and his realtor, and it was a nice deal. And then one of the ladies snapped a picture, and it was kind of a great thing because he was hot back then with the Sopranos, and everybody knew who he was, so it was kind of surprising that he would walk right into the restaurant and sit down.
Cool.
And
that's awesome.
It was a nice evening. Yeah, nice evening. And then he was a nice guy.
I want to have you back.
Way too early.
Yeah, he seemed everyone has said that about him. Not one
soon.
Person hasn't
another
said
guy
he's
that
great
I
guy.
Met. Another guy I met was Dennis Farina, which was one of my favorite actors from Chicago, a Chicago copper. And he died early, too. And he was a great, great actor and a great guy. And I met him at a White House function when I was working at the White House as ATF representative there.
I was going to say, if he died after eating at your restaurant, too, it's like James and Dennis. Like, what was going on at that restaurant?
Farina was a cop on TV series.
I want to have you back to talk about your days in the ATF and Waco and all that. We're going to link up to your book, Metro Sin City Chronicles. Sounds like a Netflix or other type of special.
Big time.
Totally.
To me. Mark Russin, thanks for coming on.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.